Well, I come up here, and first thing I look out, and I see the brand new Mr. and Mrs. Rabb, and for the first time at New Life with us, Brian and McKenna. Mr. and Mrs., congratulations. May your years be many, 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 many. We prayed for that, and I'm going to continue to speak that into you guys' life, and it's good to see you this morning. So I asked myself here on the notes, which Sunday is the most important? Which Sunday throughout the year? And you heard me talk about often there's 52 Sundays in a year, and God has set up 52 times when we can, at least 52 that we gather. And so my question is, which is the most important Sunday of the year? Which one? And so if you look at the statistics, you would point at like Easter and Christmas, because that's when the most people are here. Mother's Day is also that. It was the most people gather on those Sundays. So my mind goes, maybe they're the most important Sundays. But then you don't want the Memorial Day, the Sunday before Memorial Day, and the Sunday before Labor Day. They are right in their Sunday right around 4th of July. They seem to be the least important because there's less people. And if you just measure it by the number of people that are in a service, wherever that might be, does that count for how important that Sunday is? Is somehow Christmas elevated more than the Sunday around the 4th of July? I don't know. I'm just asking the questions. But which Sunday is the most important? And so then I look at passages of Scripture like this. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, Lord, grant me success on this day. So with that said, it seems like today is the most important Sunday. And guess what? Next Sunday will be the most important Sunday. And then the next Sunday, the next 70, that's the most important Sunday. Because this is a day that the Lord has made. He said, I'm inviting you not only to rejoice, or the word also is to thrive. I'm inviting you to rejoice, but not just to be happy on this day. That's not what the rejoice means. It has an element of that, but also I want you to thrive on this day. I got a plan for you to thrive on this day. To be stronger this day. To be more on the foundation on this day. This day, that's God's. I don't know why you're here, but I just want to tell you why God's plan for you this day is to strengthen you this day, is to take some of your burdens that you're going to lay at His feet, and He's going to lift you up, He's going to breathe more life into you and more from that table that we've been talking about, because this is a day that the Lord has made. And you hear me say this, perhaps even at a funeral time I might read this verse. And I said, oh Lord, grant me success in this day, because sometimes it's easier to be here than it is other times. But it's still, the reality is, God still has a plan for this day to help you thrive on this day, to be stronger this day. So He wants to invest in you. He's already invested in you. And He wants to continue to invest in you. Look at Psalm 127, just for a few moments this morning. It says this, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. So not only does He want you to thrive this day, He wants you to thrive every day, and He wants to build your house. Now, I don't know if He's talking about physical house. It doesn't seem to be just limited to a physical house, just four walls and some vinyl siding and some shingles. Maybe He wants to build you a house, the very physical house, but He wants to build the house, the home. He wants to build your house. So He doesn't only want you to thrive, He wants the young bucks to thrive that are sitting next to you. God is not, He's a very personal, individual God. And He's very much of a family God. He said, I want to build your house. I want to build you and you build your house. And unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain, or it's kind of useless to try to build the family to the level that it can be built if you're going to leave God out of it. And even just a week ago Saturday, I challenged the Rabs to say, if you leave God out of this relationship, your home will never be a place that God intends it to be. Because unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. If you don't have God in the house and allowing him to build your house and allowing him to watch over your family, you're falling short. That's what it says. You're not at the level that you could be. That's what the psalmist is saying. It says this in verse 2. It says, in vain you rise early and stay up late. Do you toil for food to eat? For he grants sleep to those he loves. Look what he says in verse 3 and 4. Sons are a heritage, or children are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. And I've shared this before, but it always comes up with my mom's t-shirt she used to wear, and I used to read it, and it's just simply said, grandchildren are rewards for not killing your children. But he said, children are a reward. Sometimes being a parent is not easy. It just doesn't seem like rewarding. God, can you throw a ribbon my way once in a while? Because this doesn't seem like a reward. It's very challenging to be a parent. I know, God, that you're building my house. I know this is the day that you have made. And I know you want to build my family. And I know I look at my children, and man, I love my children, but some days they just don't feel like this huge reward. It's tough to be a parent. And just so you know, young parents, it doesn't get much easier. You're not wrestling them, but you're kind of wondering what's going on in their life, and you kind of wonder where they're at and what choices they're making now. And so it never really gets easier to be a parent. But children are a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons or children born in one's youth. That doesn't mean you get to launch your children out the door. Here, have them. But there's you almost, as you build into them, they become this, so to speak, this weapon that goes into the future on a foundation of God. Look what it says in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with the enemies in the gate. And I looked up that. You know what that means? You got a bunch of young bucks, and you going up against somebody, he's going to take second notice to you. He's going to pass you by if you got a whole raft of strong sons and strong children next to you. So we are blessed. New life, we're blessed. How many names are on the board out there? How many names on the board? 48 names on our patch out there for our kids that are represented here. 48. Our quiver is got a bunch of arrows in it, and it's our responsibility to let God build the house, and it's our responsibility to take care of those children and to give them what they need and to help them step into the next steps of life, and not leaving them just to get taller, but to be raised. It's easier to get a child taller. Just feed him some Cheerios. But when we raise our children, that's where the trouble becomes and the challenge gets. It's our gifting and our ability. And blessed is the church whose quiver is full of young people. Not that we don't have value, the old white beards in the room. But our children have value. God said, I've gifted you with them. And so we're gonna look at and pull up our children one by one here. And they're gonna know that this body of believers is not gonna leave them alone. Let me the prayer that I want us to offer up to our children comes from 3 John chapter 1. He says this: dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health. You don't know, you're gonna take a prayer card here in a few moments for the student that comes up. And we already had call-ins because some people weren't able to make it. And they've already called in and said, don't let that name go into anywhere else. That's my student. I've had them since the get-go. I want that student. So we're going to do very carefully. We're going to give you those names of those people. So don't throw eggs or don't charge the stage, okay? We'll get you those kids' names. But if you don't know, maybe this is the first time you're ever going to take a name, and they're laminated cards, and they got a magnet on them, and we're going to put them on the refrigerator, on your somewhere in your office, and you're going to remember to pray for these students. But this is that you may enjoy good health. You don't know how to pray? 3 John 1 them. That all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. And then John continues. He says, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. Look what he says in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And he's not talking only his biological children there. He's talking about the children of the church. The greatest endeavor that we can engage to help our children in this life is to help them walk in the truth. Nothing will set them up better for life than helping them walk in the truth. Striving to build their special talents, striving to build their sport ability, striving to build their intellect, striving to build their mechanical abilities will not even come close to preparing them for life as helping them walk in the truth. Training them to make the right financial investments, to buy the right car, to get the right job, to make the right political positions, how to deal with people, will even come close to preparing them how to live for this life as helping them walk in the truth. Helping them know the power of being a man or the power of being a woman or their heritage or their race or their traditions will not even come close. Preparing them for life as helping them walk in the truth. I could set up a meeting with you with several people that I've worked with in just in the past week or so. Very gifted, talented, financially sound, streetwise people, and they would share with you how much their life is a wreck. We need to help our kids walk in the truth. And maybe you don't work with the children, and maybe you don't work with the children on Wednesday night. But I'm telling us right now, this body has a responsibility to at least 48 children. And if we're not going to live up to our responsibility, then I'm going to give them to go to another church somewhere that will. Because God has brought them here. And it's our responsibility to care for them. And we will care for them. And we will let the heavenlies know you can trust us with these children. You can trust us with these families. And we will help them walk in truth. And we will be on our knees for them. And we will be praying for them. We will gather here today to publicly join the battle for our children. And we will declare to the world, you will not get your fingers on our children. Over our dead bodies. Will you have our children? We gather here today to say, count me in. I don't know what else is going on in other children's lives today, but I know what's going on in some of the kids' lives that are here today. And we're going to start calling them up one by one, and you're going to see them, and we're going to call their name. We got a backpack with some school supplies in it for each student. They're going to be back in the middle. You can go from up on the platform, children. You can go back, and Mr. Tobin will be back here to help you get a backpack. It's not really choose, just Mr. Tobin's the chooser today, okay? He's the chooser, so let Mr. Tobin be the chooser. So if I can have the first names, if we can get in positions. Mr. Tobin, where did Mr. Tobin go? Let him know that they're right on the platform right there. Here we go.